Here's the pitch coming. Swinging a ball hit to left, tailing toward the line. Pham with a good jump and a backhanded try. It goes off of his glove. He got there, making a good play. The throw to second. Lux is safe. Hayes is in, and Cincinnati leads 2-1.
Yes, a good play. Great job getting that ball quickly into second. Should have been an out. Tommy Pham. Joining us now to get into the sorry state of the Buccos is our friend Neil Walker. He's brought to us by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. And Neil is also brought to you by Mike Camlin Hyundai, home of the Mike Camlin Advantage Oil Changes for Life. Good morning to you, Neil. How's it going?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Well, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I'm not going to say this is how you feel, but this is how I feel. Poor Don Kelly. I mean, poor Don Kelly. Like, this is a difficult situation that he's walked into, and I want to get into Gene Lamont coming and how he might be able to help. But before we get to that, you've got Andrew Heaney with a 3.02 ERA. You got Mitch Keller with a 3.88 ERA, and you've got Paul Skeens, Neil, with a 2.44 ERA. In their starts, the Pirates are 8-21. Like, do the pitchers at any point start to, you know, resent the position players? Have you ever seen that happen? Because I know it's happened in the NFL a lot.
I don't know if they get to the point where they're resenting the guys, but I do think subconsciously, and they would never admit it, I do think that there are times where, you know, when they're creeping into the fourth, fifth, and maybe sixth inning, if they're clinging onto a lead or it's a 1-1 game or a 2-2 game or something like that, I think that they are probably feeling like they have to be as close to perfect as possible to keep the game where it's at. It's been a historically tough stretch here with the lack of run support. And, you know, you certainly feel bad for especially the starters and, you know, those games over the course of seasons where, you know, maybe a team scores 8 runs and a pitcher goes out there and maybe he doesn't have his best stuff, but he's throwing the ball pretty well. And, you know, you get into hitters counts 2-0, 3-1 against good hitters, you know, and you say, hey, you know what, I'm just going to throw something over the middle here and see what happens. And if they hit a solo home run or a double or something, it's not that big a deal because we got a big lead. The Pirates don't have that luxury right now. And, you know, I certainly know from talking with Donnie and trying to understand how he's navigating this. He's doing everything he can to, you know, try to put guys in good situations if possible to succeed. But also, you know, understanding that runs are at a premium right now. So every once in a while, he may have to do things a little differently, whether it be move guys at weird times of the game down in the bottom of the order to give themselves more opportunities. You know, hitting and running, bunting, those type of things. It's just been extremely difficult right now, and there's not a whole lot you can do if you're getting quality starting pitching, especially, and you're getting in the middle part of that game. If you're not scoring those runs to extend leads or giving yourselves cushions, it makes it very difficult in a league that's so offense heavy for the most part now, with the you know, the home runs being kind of prevalent and runs being scored being pretty prevalent as well.
Neil, a lot of athletes will tell you, yeah, I don't read the newspaper clippings, I don't listen to the radio, I don't look what's being said online. But at the end of the day, you're made aware of what people are saying. And if you're Paul Skeens, you are aware that you are one of the top players, pitchers in Major League Baseball. You're aware that you know, people are probably talking about you being traded at some point, or even as close as next week. You're aware that those things are being said. So if you were Paul Skeens right now, how are you actually feeling? I mean, you're a young player. You know you have talent, and things just aren't working on the other side of helping your talent. Like, how are you honestly feeling right now?
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing with baseball is obviously it's a team sport, and a pitcher, especially a starting pitcher, is very much like a quarterback, where you have to individually be so locked in on what you're trying to accomplish individually, but also be a supportive teammate. Also try to be the best teammate you can be. But at the same time, the everything on those guys' plate is so it's so much. I mean, these guys. if they, you know, for instance, if it's game one of a three-game series and a starting pitcher is throwing the third game, those guys are responsible for watching game one and two from the bench to see the guys that they're most likely going to face and how they're going to attack them. What do they look like right now? Where are their hot zones? So I think for Paul, I think he's so studious and so focused in on what he's trying to do that I don't think he quite gets caught up with everything else that's going on. But I definitely do think that he understands, you know, that he has to be very, very good when he goes out there to give himself to get wins. But also in today's day and age, there's so many more statistics that go into being a starting pitcher than the win-loss category that, you know, it's more easy to evaluate pitchers just outside of the ERA and the record. But, man, I think he sees and probably hears all the things that's going on from a newspaper perspective. It is difficult in today's day and age to not hear something on social media or in a newspaper that somebody might say from a critical standpoint. I think with him, he's a little bit different. I don't think he's on social media. I don't think he hears a lot. I think he is so tunnel vision focused that he might be one of the rare guys that just shows up, does his job, watches the game or pitches in the game, and then prepares and then goes out there and does it, and then goes another 5 days later.
Neil Walker with us here on the Fan Morning Show. The Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So Don Kelly, he's not running the Jimmy Johns right now because he's managing the Pirates. Now he's got a little bit of help in Gene Lamont. What is your understanding of how that all went down, Neil? And what do you think Gene can add, and how can Don utilize his services?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I remember talking to Donnie, you know, a couple of days after he got hired and talking about options for a bench coach spot. And he was very much in the class of wanting somebody that's had a wealth of experience and somebody that he could rely on, you know, in-game stuff, but also internally dealing with players, lineup constructions, all of those things. He very much wants somebody that is not necessarily somebody that's going to be super analytically driven, which, you know, Gene Lamont is not cut from that mold. He's cut from more of the Jim Leland mold of, you know, dealing with players, you know, riding with the hot hand, regardless of what the numbers say, putting guys in good spots to succeed, getting guys breathers on tough matchups, that type of thing. So I think that, you know, it would have been easy for him to just, say, you know, give me a manager from AAA or AA or somebody that's done it externally that they might be able to get. But I know that he respects Gene greatly. He was on the staff in Detroit when he played there, and obviously being under Leland, and we've heard Bob Walk talk about Leland Lamont as a manager when he was in Pittsburgh and how much he respects him. So I think more than anything else, he's going to be a sounding board for Donnie. And I think that, you know, as bright as Donnie is, to have somebody else, you always want people that are smarter than you in situations like that. And Donnie's a very bright guy. But the amount of stuff that Gene Lamont has seen over the course of his career as a manager and as a coach are through the roof.
Neil, awesome as always, buddy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And we'll do it again next week, all right?
Okay, guys, hopefully we got some better things to talk about next week, right?
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yep. All right, Neil. See you
okay,
later.
Okay, have a good week, guys.
You too. I'm depressed.
Me too. Me too. Honestly.
Someone takes it in. What's Gene Lamont going to change? You're going to have him DH? I mean, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it's a good idea. What would the radio equivalent of that be? Like, we have Vinny Ricchici just sit in here.
Yeah, Cook.
We host a radio show, and Cookie just sits in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the breaks, he's like, hey, you guys really should have brought this up.
Right. Cook. Yeah.
I like that. All right. When we come back, we are going to revisit the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll, which is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Cook would tell me I pronounced that incorrectly. And the question is this. Do you feel the same way as a texter who wrote in, I'd rather watch Skeens win somewhere else than whatever is happening here for the next 4 years. We got over 80 responses on Twitter. We'll go over some of those. And finally, Dorn, a national media member has come to the aid of these lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. You can text us. Shut up, Becky! You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I said earlier in the show, all these national media members covering Major League Baseball, they're making me sick. Because instead of saying, hey, Pirates, build around Paul Skeens, they're all saying, hey, Pirates, use Paul Skeens as a trade piece and build that way. Well, we have had one media member now come to the defense of Pirates fans. That's how I look at it. Who is it? We'll tell you in a second. Dom, you asked us during one of the last couple of breaks, though, a question that we've been discussing now off air for a while. Who is the most famous person that we have in the contacts in our phone? And I want to pull up that thread a little bit. Mine's Andrew Filippone.
Mm.
But we didn't ask him.
No, we didn't.
I feel like there's a reason why the question was asked. Probably didn't know who Doran's got in his, but why? Dom, do you have someone super famous in your phone? I can tell by your smirk. You asked it because you wanted us to ask you.
I swear to God, there was no...
Is it Tirico? Is it one of these Syracuse guys?
No. Benz? I mean, no, no, no. Benz. I really don't. I mean, Ernie Johnson probably.
What?
Yeah, I have his number.
Ern? What? You got Ern in your phone?
I love him. He's the best.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big one.
That clears any of mine.
How'd you get that number?
Freshman year, I don't even know how I got it, but I got his contact information. And then I reached out to him, and he gave me his number so we could, like, called me.
See, yep.
That beats any of mine. Half of mine are dead. Seriously. I look through my contacts, I'm like, oh, who should we have on today? Who's someone big we haven't talked to in a while? And I literally scroll past, like, 14 dead people.
Dang, that's
and
I mean
good.
Dead people, yeah. like Abe Lincoln? Like, who's dead that you have on your phone?
I mean, Abe was on the old rotary phone. It was just two numbers for Abe. One and a sixth, 16th president of the United States. That's how you got in touch with Abe. No, like, not to be more, but, like, I scroll past, it's like Mike Lang, it's like Tunch Yokin, Craig Wolfley, just so many people.
Jeez.
And I've never cleared it out because I feel like there's something...
I would never clear it out.
About that. Yeah, man.
I'll never clear it out.
I still have old voicemails from Stan Saverin, you know, that I've never deleted.
Yeah, never.
Because why would you delete it?
No, never. Never.
Anyway, I sucked all the fun out of this segment. Who's yours?
Mine?
Big Shot Dickerson?
I mean, I'd have to go through it, but off the top of my head, maybe Salita Ebanks, Solange Knowles, Beyonce's sister.
What?
Yeah.
Solange Knowles?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I mean, I lived in Houston for a while.
Yeah, I could have lived in Houston for a while too, but I don't think Beyonce's sister. I don't think her number would have found its way into my phone.
I don't know. It was real wild. I get to Houston.
Yeah, I got Christina Aguilera's.
I mean, the PR director came down to my locker literally the second day I was there, and he's like just staring at me, and I'm like, "What?" And he was like, "We just got a call from somebody, and they wanted to leave their number for you." And I was like, "Okay, who?" He's like, "Solange Knowles," and I was like, Beyonce's sister?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, are you sure she wants to leave it for me? And like everybody in the locker room just kind of stopped what they're doing, just stared at me. And I was like, are you sure? He's like, yep.
Don't they know that? Didn't she know Steve Slayton was on that team?
Steve Slayton.
And she wants Dickerson's number?
Yeah.
How cool must that be, though, to, you know, Beyonce's sister wants your phone number?
Not as cool as you think. Not as cool as you think.
No, but still cool.
Yeah, the off-air portion of the conversation is good. We can't really get into that. Nah. Solange Knowles, though.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Ebanks?
Salita Ebanks, Victoria's Secret model. Angel, I guess that's what they're called. Back in the day. No, back in my day.
I mean, what do I even have that could compare? Nothing to that.
I mean, a bunch of actors.
I got Tim Williams from Pirates Prospects.
You know, Pony is kind of a big name.
I got Talkett. I got Rick Talkett in here.
Well, outside of athletes.
Oh. I have someone in here just called Fire Guy. Who the hell is Fire Guy? Might have to call him up on the air. Solange Knowles. Yeah. Should we give Tony Rasiopi a ring? Haven't talked to him in a while. Or Andrew Petcash.
Neil's probably a big one, though.
Neil is a big one.
That's a big one.
Neil's a big one. But none of mine can compare to Mr. Ernie Johnson over there.
That's huge.
Or Beyonce's sister.
Ernie Johnson's an all-timer.
That's a really good one. Yeah.
Man.
Nobody's got Ken Rosenthal, right?
No.
He of Fox, big-time baseball insider. He actually had the right thing to say about this whole Paul Skeen, should they trade him or not situation.
I'm starting to see this bubble up a little bit on X and some writers speculating as well about the possibility of the Pirates trading Paul Skeens. I do not see it happening this year. Paul Skeens is under club control for 4 more years after this one. The Pirates have many problems, and of course they need to solve those problems, but I don't know that trading Paul Skeens is the way to do it. The way to do it, and I know this might be objectionable in the owner's estimation, Bob Nutting's estimation, the way to do it is to spend money and build around him. Now, I don't expect the Pirates to do that, which is why you're going to hear these questions about Skeens.
I'm happy someone said that. Earlier in the show was Greg Amsinger. You should trade him. It was on the McAfee show the other day. Jeff Passan. The Pirates should trade him. They should at least take calls on Paul Skeens. I don't think they're doing that right now. So I don't think that's realistic. It also might not be realistic what Ken Rosenthal just said. They should build around him. But like, I've heard this out there from hosts on our station, from fans. You go to a bar, you'll hear people say this. Well, this is great that Skeens is so good and the team's so bad because it's going to get all the national attention. The only way that's good is if the organization gets shamed into adding more around this guy. If the shame leads to him getting traded, well, that's no good.
No good, yeah.
So I want more of these national guys to come down on the side of Rosenthal and call this organization to the carpet and say, hey, spend more money, surround this guy with talent, as opposed to what we've largely heard, which is, oh, they should just trade him. No.
I think it's easier to shame somebody into spending money than to get rid of their best asset. I don't think that ever would even cross the mind of Bob Nutting of being shamed so badly about needing to trade Paul Skeens that he would actually make the move to do it. Now, if you have a lot of fire underneath you to add around little pieces at a time, that's probably easier to be like, okay, maybe it's time for me to do that. I don't think he'll ever be pushed into a corner to trade Paul Skeens whenever he doesn't feel like it's necessary.
No, and he fills the ballpark every fifth day.
Exactly.
A lot more than the rest of the Pirates do. So they're not going to trade him at the deadline. They're not going to trade him at the, this offseason. I just want there to be a competitive team around Paul Skeens. And intern Dom tweeted this just the other day. These are the stories currently being written about Paul Skeens' worst Pirate season ever. And you have a bunch of screen grabs here. And here are the headlines. Yankees trade proposal lands Paul Skeens after latest rumors. Red Sox would acquire superstar Paul Skeens and podcasters trade proposal. Would a Paul Skeens trade make sense for the Mets? Dodgers Pirates blockbuster trade proposal would bring Paul Skeens to LA. No. Build around the guy. Don't trade him. It's ridiculous to me. Right now. Eventually they will. Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But not today. Nor should it be today. I go on SpotTrack.com looking for the Reds payroll. It's basically exactly the same as the Pirates' payroll. But the Reds are a game over 500, just 3.5 out of the wild card race. And I don't know what's going to become of the Reds this year. I don't know that they make the playoffs, but I mean, they're competitive right now. They last were good more recently than the last time the Pirates were good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now good again.
Mm-hmm.
And they have had players that they've acquired via trade that have come in and been very successful. They have drafted players that have developed and been very successful, and then they hit on a couple of the right moves this offseason. They get Gavin Lux, who's got an OPS around 800. They're paying him $3.25 million. Meanwhile, the Pirates are paying Adam Frazier. you've got Austin Hayes, who's hitting 330, and has an OPS plus a 161, an OPS flirting with 1,000, plays left field, making the same amount of money for just as long as Tommy Pham. So we can scream into the void about ownership until we're blue in the face. And I'm not saying that that's not valid. The GM, what the hell are you doing? Like, with the money that you were given, you could have gone out and got useful players. And instead, you've got Tommy Pham dropping fly balls yesterday and against the Phillies and not being able to hit all season long and telling fans in Anaheim what they should be doing with their lower extremities. You could have Austin Hayes, and that's not going to fix it, right? I mean, you've dealt with so many injuries, and I mean, you're so bad hitting the baseball right now. You are historically bad, 24 consecutive games scoring four or fewer runs.
God, this started last year. I feel like we're so
You do
redundant.
All the time.
I feel so redundant whenever I say this. It started at the trade deadline, whenever you acquired De La Cruz and IKF. Now, IKF, a good utility player, but like Jazz Chisholm, Ward, Rooker were names that were talked about, and you couldn't get a deal done with any of those guys. Like, that's where it started. But you can't get a deal done then, and then you don't do anything in the offseason. Like, it just...
Do you happen to see what our guy Taylor Ward's doing this year, by the way?
Pretty good. I think Rooker's doing pretty good, too.
So Taylor Ward would fit in with the Pirates in that he's hitting 198.
Oh, I thought you meant... Okay, Rooker.
No, it's okay. Yeah. He still has 13 homers and an OPS of 704. Like, Tommy Pham ain't hitting 200. Mm-mm. I'll take the 13 homers. You know what I mean? So you're right. I mean, it goes back to the hiring of Ben Cherington, but... You know, last year they had
We're talking
an opportunity.
About Skeens, the Skeens Pirates.
Right, right.
Skeens Pirates.
They had the opportunity last year. They had been linked to Taylor Ward. They had been linked to Jazz Chisholm. And then you've got the general manager come out and say, you have to be comfortable saying no, Doran. You got to be comfortable saying no. So, like, we've complained about so many different elements that have led to the Pirates being 18 games under 500 on May 20th. But even if you separate the owner, even if you separate the economics of baseball, all you have to do is look at the Pirates' opponent yesterday and who they're going to play today and again tomorrow, and you can see that you can still win without spending a ton of money. And an easy fix would have been bringing in Terry Francona this offseason. Like, if you were that close to firing Derek Shelton to where you do it in May, you were probably thinking about it last year. You got Terry Francona out there. And maybe he would have opted to go to Cincinnati over Pittsburgh. Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Because
you can pay a manager more than you should have to pay a manager to come in here, and it ain't going to blow the budget. It ain't. It's easier to do that than blow up an entire 26-man roster. So watching the Reds, man, it really underscores what a bad job Ben Cherington has done. Texter, is the season over? Yeah.
Yeah.
Any further questions? You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Someone texted in saying, according to USA Today, the Pirates' payroll significantly lower than the Reds. I looked at SpotTrack. I mean, I guess USA Today has them at 115. I guess it depends on where you look. Okay, the Pirates could spend 115, but like, just boil it down to those two moves. They could have paid that this offseason. $8.5 million for a guy with an 800 OPS who could play second, short in the outfield, and a guy who's hitting 330 right now that plays left field, and your left fielder is waxing his carrot and getting suspended for it. Like, come on now. All right. Social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. We'll revisit that Twitter poll. I've been teasing that for like 40 minutes. And Doran, you've asked an interesting question about the phone contacts. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Here's a question I threw out there on X. Are you even excited about Bubba Chandler when he makes his debut?
I am.
I am too, but you and I are losers.
Yeah.
Like, I like talking baseball. You like talking baseball, and that's different. And he's the number two prospect in all of baseball. But I just don't remember there being this little buzz. Like even when O'Neill Cruz was called up, that was exciting. Henry Davis, help is on the way. We did that whole thing. People were jacked up, and that team was bad. But this team is so bad, and they already have the ace of their pitching staff.
Right.
And what they need is a bopper in the middle of this lineup. Like, I feel like if they had the number two prospect in all of baseball, and it was a left fielder or a first baseman or a third baseman, I think people would be champing at the bit to get this guy.
Yeah.
But because he's going to slot into the rotation behind Skeens, like, I think people are excited. I just don't think that there's a hullabaloo.
You're right. You're right.
You asked this question because we were talking about the most famous people in our contact lists. Who's the most famous person's number we could get?
Who do you think you could get?
Rich Rodriguez.
He doesn't count. Is he even famous? He's not famous.
He's famous.
No, he's a college football coach.
Oh, I was talking about the Pirates reliever.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
College football coaches are famous. Bill Belichick. Oh, you get Bill's number. Do you have Bill's number?
I did. It's a different one now. Yep.
I mean, I think I could have got Jerry West's number before he passed.
That's a big one.
I could have got West's
number.
That's
a good one.
I didn't. What an idiot I am.
Dom, whose number do you think you can get?
I mean, I probably could get Tirico's number. I'm trying to think like non-sports broadcaster whose number I could get. I don't know. Livy Dunn?
You couldn't get Livy Dunn's number.
You don't know what I could do.
Oh.
You said you can't even talk to girls in the bar, buddy.
That's different than getting a number. I can get numbers.
All right, book us Livy for tomorrow since you're producing the show.
Okay.
You're on it. If you get us Livy Dunn, I don't have the power to do this, but I will push the people who are in power. We fire Callis. I mean, if you get Livy Dunn's number and we get her on the show tomorrow,
Callis will, like, his speaking days would have been 3 weeks ago for the last time on our show.
Yes.
The last time he would speak on our show would have been 3 weeks ago.
It would have been like in March.
Yeah, March or whatever it was, a month ago. That was it. He would never have a chance to come back.
I think Livy would be a great guest right now because she's super savvy with the media side of things. But I wonder if pressed, if she would tell you how Paul's feeling about this current situation. Like, you might be able to glean a lot from her tone.
I don't know.
If you get that done, I'll give you $5,000. You get Livy Dunn on the show.
Is that true?
Tomorrow. Has to be tomorrow.
Is that a promise, though? $5,000?
$5,000.
Really?
Yeah.
You better hold him to it, Dom. He's good at getting out of these things.
Oh, believe me. I'm getting that $5,000.
There needs to be a handshake.
She's got to be on the show. That's it. That's the only stipulation. It has to be tomorrow. So I guess two.
Wow.
$5,000.
This is great.
And this is to say nothing about Dom. Like, I'm sure Dom can get her number.
But can he get her on the
show?
Can
he get her on the show tomorrow?
Yeah, there's just no way.
See, I'm
gonna
already quit.
No, I'm going to try. I mean, I'll try.
I mean, $5,000, Dom. I mean,
it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I could use $5,000. I'll tell you that much.
You got the student loans?
Oh, my God. It's crippling. I haven't even started paying them, and it's crippling me.
But it looks like you got a great job right now and perhaps a full-time role if you're able to book Livy Dunn, because we'll push Callis right to the curb.
That would be huge.
I think Callis would even be okay with that. I think he'd understand.
I think he would, too. That's just the name of the game. He'd get Wally pipped, but so be it. I mean, Kenny Pickett lost his job. He got hurt. Mason Rudolph slides in at the end of the season 2 years ago. I think he could get Cuban's number.
Yeah, I think you could too. Mount Lebo guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about Michael Keaton?
We could get Keaton's number.
I think so, yeah.
Christina Aguilera?
I just had somebody text me that absolutely could get Livy's number, like 100% could get Livy's number. And they said, I'll do it if Dom gives me half the $2,500.
Hey, are you being serious right now?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you who that guy is because I ain't trying to part with $5,000.
All right, well then tell him yes. Tell him I'll split it 100%.
I ain't helping.
Now, Doran, come on.
This is what he does.
Now Crowley's being a bad teammate.
This is what he does.
At the show's expense. Yeah, you might have Livy as a guest tomorrow, Doran, and Crowley's not letting it happen.
All right, tomorrow on the show, Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. John Wehner at 8:35, Ray Fittipaldo at 8, and perhaps Livy Dunn. You have our permission to bump any of those guests aside for Livy, just so you know, Dom.
They would understand.
Get right on it. All right, We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Pompa Joe up next. Goodbye.